Wow, we have quite a program for you. We start with Project Veritas taking on Google, what that all means. Also, Brad Thor is going to be with us today. He's got a brand new book out, and his book is Backlash. But we talk a little bit about Russia and what it means, because this book is all about Russia. Also, a woman whose daughter was kidnapped by Boko Haram. She has flown in from Africa to talk to this audience. It is powerful. You don't want to miss that.
And this ties into what's going on here at the museum. It is coming up here in just a week or so. If you are anywhere near Texas or can get here, or you know, want to buy a ticket for someone else, or want to buy a ticket because it's talking about what's going on in this world right now when it comes to people being abducted and taken
into slavery.
It is terrifying. This is really still going on.
Yeah, we look at the past and the present. We look at American slavery, the truth about American slavery, which I guarantee you never learned any of this stuff in school. It's 12 score and 3 years ago. Our pop-up museum here in the Mercury Studios in Dallas, Texas. It opens this weekend. It runs through July 7th. Grab your tickets and come see it. Parental guidance is suggested. It is a little shocking in parts. It's dealing with the truth. 12 score and 3 years ago. Make sure you join us here in Dallas.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
If you are somebody who is has followed my warnings of AI and the warnings of high tech, we are getting now to a place to where you're not going to be able to believe your eyes or your ears, and that is happening very, very soon. We're being manipulated without even knowing it, and quite honestly, I think we are moving in a direction that is China-like. And I think we're going to get there much faster than any of us believe, especially those who are not paying attention. So I want to talk to you about algorithmic unfairness. What is algorithmic unfairness? I want you to do this test. You can do it right now. If you have your phone or you're at your computer, just go to Google and type in men can. Now, what I have is men. If I type in men can, I have men can have babies. Men can get pregnant. Men can have periods. Men can have babies now, men can cook, and men think about nothing. Is that what you got? What do you have? Just type in men can.
I have men cancer.
Okay, no, you didn't put a space after can, after the N.
Oh, yeah. Men can have babies. Men can get pregnant. Men can have babies now. Men can have periods. Men can cook.
And I have the extra men can think about nothing. Do you have that?
I don't.
Okay. Now, isn't that odd? Because we've always thought that this is what the most people are searching for, right? Whenever we've put that in, we've thought, oh, that's what everybody's searching for. Now, go back in and type in women can. Women can vote.
Is that true? Is that confirmed?
That's true.
Wow, we should have rethought that one.
I know. Women can vote. Women can fly. Women can do it. Aww. Women can be drafted. Women can do anything.
Inspiring. Much more inspiring than the men cancer thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does this reflect reality? Is this what people are searching for?
Can women do it? Who's searching Google for women can do it?
Right.
Doesn't seem
women
plausible.
Can fly. Mm. What does that mean? Let's click on women can fly. What does that take you to? shows you women can fly. It's a thing to in Virginia. They inspiring girls to fly.
Are they allowed on airplanes now? Is that accurate?
Apparently so. I guess. So women can fly, and they prove it Saturday at Shannon Airport. All right. So what is this? Do you remember a while back when Google announced that they were going to start using trusted sources? Okay. They wanted to know who trusted sources were. And those trusted sources would be the ones who would be the arbiters of truth. They would get more weighting than people like, let's say, Fox News, The Blaze, Ben Shapiro, any kind of religious organization, whatever. Okay. And this is the most blatant example of it. And I urge you to do this with your friends. Show them. If you think Google is not manipulating you, just have them type in men can space, women can space, and see what you get. What Google is doing is they have a new algorithm. They're trying to fight algorithmic unfairness. And what they have with algorithmic unfairness is, for instance, the majority of men are CEOs are men. Okay. Majority of CEOs are men. Well, that's unfair. Even though it's true, that presents an unfair picture. And so the trusted sources that they found, what a surprise, the trusted sources agree with the extreme liberals in Google headquarters. And they are social justice warrior sites. They are the ones determining what's true and what is fair. So when you're searching for men can what? Well, men can cook. Men can have periods. No, they can't. Men can have babies. No, they can't. And that is not what should be coming up at the very beginning. What they're doing is they're pushing their agenda. But what they're doing is more subtle than that. Because you look at this, and if you don't know about algorithmic unfairness, you think, wow, is everybody searching for this? And they are manipulating you subtly. And they're doing it through the Sources of Truth database. They are the arbiters of the Sources of Truth. And their sources of truth are social justice warriors. So the algorithm doesn't just look at what is popular. It doesn't look at what is most convenient for you. See, this used to be tied to you. I'm looking for this. Okay, I'll find that for you. But when it comes, if your viewpoint is against the Source of Truth database, it's going to suggest some other things. For instance, yesterday we found out in documentation through Project Veritas that if you search for Joe Rogan and you watch a Joe Rogan, Dave Rubin, you watch a Dave Rubin video, what you're going to find is they're going to suggest other things that might interest you, like things from CNN. Well, wait, what? Now, if you search for things on CNN, you'll find more stuff from CNN. You won't find Joe Rogan. And I don't know why I'm calling him that. You won't find Dave Rubin. Okay? You search for something and you're watching, you're going to get a whole bunch of suggested titles from CNN and MSNBC and everything else. You won't find Dave Rubin in that list. But if you look for Dave Rubin and you're watching a Dave Rubin video, YouTube is going to suggest a lot of MSNBC and CNN because they want to expand your mind. And, you know, if you're watching this, well, you should probably watch a little of this, too. You're being manipulated. You're being taught. Now, I'm going to come back and I'm going to play the audio of the executive at Google explaining all of this and why they are doing it. It is absolutely incredible how cavalier they are sitting at a restaurant just openly talking about manipulation and why. We'll do that in 1 minute. I'm going to tie all of this stuff together throughout the show today, but I want to just start with you're being manipulated in real time right now by Google and Facebook and all the rest. We want to concentrate on Google because this has ramifications for the next election. And I don't know if anybody in Washington is even going to do anything about it. Here is audio cut one of Project Veritas sitting down with Jen Janai. Now, she is the head. I love this. She is the head of responsible innovation for Google. Their definition of responsible is much different than my definition of responsible. This is the sector that monitors and evaluates the responsible implementation of artificial intelligence and machine learning technologies. Listen to what the woman in charge of a responsible implementation at Google says they're doing.
We all got screwed over in 2016. Again, it wasn't just us. It was like people got screwed over. The news media got screwed over. Like, everybody got screwed over. So now we're rapidly been like, what happened there? How do we prevent it from happening again?
Okay, so she said, in 2016, we all got screwed over. Not just the people at Google. Everybody. Men, women, mainstream media. We all looked at each other and said, what just happened? Now, she's talking about the election of Donald Trump. So what just happened? We all got screwed over. So we have to prevent that from ever happening again. Cut two.
Accusations on around the fairness is that we're unfair to conservatives because we are choosing what we define as credible news sources, and those news sources don't necessarily overlap with conservative sources.
Stop. So stop. She's saying here, we get accused of not being fair because what we deem fair is not fair to conservatives because we choose the news that we feel is credible, the credible news sources. And what we feel are credible news sources are not the credible news sources to conservatives. Now, is this what you've heard from Google or anybody as they're testifying? Have you heard this from their PR people? That, yeah, we're just picking the news sources and conservatives, you're out of luck. You're not going to like them. But we don't find any truth in your news services. I thought they weren't manipulating anything. Continue.
Congress multiple times and we've not shown them because we're like, we just know they're going to just attack us. Like, we're not going to change our response. We're not going to change your mind. There's no point in just sitting there being attacked for something that we know we're not going to change.
Okay, stop. Is this cut three? Okay, this is cut three. So what she's saying here is we're not going to Congress. You know, many times they've called us up and we're not going because we're not going to change our mind. And all they're going to do is yell at us. So why would we go and have them yell at us for something we know what they're going to say? And we also know we're not going to change what we do. Is there any more on that?
Pressures, but not changing.
Cut four, please.
The reason we launched our AI principles is because people were not putting that line in the sand. They were not saying what is fair and what's equitable. So we're like, well, we are a big company. We're going to say it. Where my definition of fairness and bias specifically talks about historically marginalized communities, and that's what I care about. Communities who are in power and have traditionally been in power are not who I'm solving fairness for.
Our definition of fairness, one of those things that we thought would be like obvious and everybody would agree to, and it wasn't. Like, there are the same people who voted for the current president do not agree with our definition of fairness.
Okay, so what she said here is, okay, so we have to draw a line in the sand because no one was drawing a line in the sand, but we're a big company, so we decided we will say it. But we understand that what we're looking to do is be fair to marginalized groups. And those marginalized groups do not include any of those who are in power. And we were surprised because how we defined fairness, we thought everyone would agree, but not everybody agrees on fairness, especially those who have voted for this current president. I go back to the first cut where she says, we all got screwed over. We all got screwed over. And when we got screwed over, we decided to do something because we have to stop this from ever happening again. What is she talking about? A Trump victory. We have to stop this from ever happening again. Well, you know what? It makes it a little more interesting now to think that we all believe that if somebody like Elizabeth Warren, you know, is the candidate, it's going to be a slam dunk. But not necessarily. Not if you have Google and Facebook as part of your campaign. Not that they're taking any money or colluding. Absolutely not. But if you have people at Google and Facebook manipulating the algorithms so you're only going to find things that agree with whoever the Democratic candidate is and makes the Republican candidate look bad, you don't have a prayer. Especially when it comes to deep fakes and audio deep fakes. I'm going to show you a little later on in the program exactly what's happening with deep fakes and audio deep fakes. We are at the point, and this should be the number one conversation in the world today. What happens when you cannot believe your eyes or your ears? And the Encyclopedia Britannica is being changed all the time. So when you're looking through the Encyclopedia Britannica, all of a sudden, it's steering you to go find something else because it doesn't agree with your premise and your point of view. You're being manipulated. It is only going to get much, much worse. They are now taking and manipulating you. They admitted it here with Project Veritas, but they also have documents coming out of Google where they are explaining how they are steering people away from people like Dave Rubin. Now, Dave Rubin is really very, very effective because he's a former liberal. He was with the Young Turks, for the love of Pete. And he realized, wow, this is wrong. I don't agree with what they're saying here, but I can't be a conservative. And he's taken the world on his journey. He's extraordinarily dangerous.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Brad Thor, good friend of the program, a guy who has done work for Homeland Security, their analytic red cell unit. He's lectured to law enforcement about over-the-horizon future threats. He has been the keynote speaker for the National Tactical Officers Association annual conference, Ronald Reagan's 100 celebration, the Young Americans Foundation, supporter of the Heritage Foundation. He has spoken at their national headquarters on the need for robust missile defense. He also is a guy in 2008 that shadowed a black ops team in Afghanistan to research his thriller, a really good one, called The Apostle. His latest is out today, and it is called Backlash. Welcome, Mr. Brad Thor. How are you, sir?
I am doing well. Good morning, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
You bet. I want to talk, first of all, congratulations on what number book is this?
This is 19.
19. Congratulations on that.
Well, thank you. And I tell people it's like the James Bond movies. You can jump in at any point. You don't need to have seen all the Bond movies to see the latest.
Right.
So Backlash, if you haven't read me, is a great place to start.
Okay, so this is how I'm taking this. This is part spy novel, part survival book, is it not?
Yeah, it is. And so you nailed it when you said that what I do is faction, where you don't know where the facts end and the fiction begins. So I wanted to do something with my main character, who was a Navy SEAL and gets recruited to do some of the nation's most dangerous business that we don't want our fingerprints on. And this guy has been a thorn in the side of the Russians time and time again. And they decide they're going to come to the United States. They're going to put a bag over his head, drag him back to Russia, interrogate him. And then they are saving the honor of killing him for the Russian president. He's going to put a bullet in Scott Arvath himself. And so when I did the research for the book, I wanted to know two things. Number one, I wanted to know what the training was like for our soldiers and our intel operatives in what's called SEER school. That's an acronym for Survive, Evade, Resist, Escape. Mm-hmm. What do these guys do? How are they trained? That's number one. Number two, I was fascinated by a little-known program that Barack Obama's administration set up and President Trump kept going and actually has added a lot more meat and muscle to. And there was a position called the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs. This is the gentleman or lady, it's currently a gentleman, who's in charge of setting the machinery of the United States government, its military, to absolute overdrive if an American gets taken overseas. And I said, if you had a guy like Arvath, what would happen? He said, we would move heaven and earth in the first 48 hours to apply such withering pressure on whoever took him that they would beg us to take the person back. And I said, what if you didn't know where he was or the people who took him were denying it? He said, well, we'd still apply the pressure, but now we're getting the SEAL teams involved, Delta's getting involved, and that's the kind of neat facts behind this book. You're going to get short, crisp cinematic chapters, a great white-knuckle thrill ride, but you're going to learn a couple of real-life things in Backlash that it just absolutely blew me away when I did the research.
Okay, so I want to stop here and go into this, because it seems like the United States, if somebody is taken, it seems like we don't really do much. Like, for instance, North Korea, we had somebody taken and, a citizen, and he came back and died right after. I mean, what?
That wasn't a
kidnapping. That was an arrest. But can you give me any real life examples of when this has happened and we can point a finger to, holy cow, the United States doesn't screw around when a citizen is taken?
Well, these things are interesting because you are doing diplomacy. Let me tell you what the war room is like and where the war room is that was set up and still exists. It's at FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C., and it has desks all over the place, the clocks with the different time zones, the television monitors, all the kind of stuff you would expect from like a high-speed kind of Clancy movie sort of a thing. Mm-hmm. And at each one of these desks is a representative from the major branches of government. So you've got the Treasury Department, you've got people from the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Pentagon, the NSA, all this stuff. And so what they're doing is they're all sharing information, trying to find pressure points. So in a case like Otto Warmbier that you were talking about in North Korea, there was the continued diplomatic I cannot say that they looked at military options because I did not discuss that with them, nor would they reveal that if they were. But knowing what I know about this system, I'm sure they were looking for a way. If they could pinpoint where Otto Warmbier was and they could have gotten him out, that might have been a consideration. But in this case, he wasn't necessarily taken hostage.
Yes.
He violated the law in that country. We could air quote around due process, but he had committed a crime that wasn't in dispute. The reason this group was set up was in the aftermath of the murder of the journalist James Foley, mm-hmm. who was beheaded by ISIS, mm-hmm. and our inability to get him back before they could kill him. That's the kind of stuff that the Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs and the fusion cell at the FBI exists for.
Okay. So the book starts with this operation by Russia in the United States. I want to ask you, how much did what happened over in England play into this story? Because Russia seems ballsy to where they're doing stuff that we would have they would have never done during the Cold War. They would have never done that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%.
So how realistic is Russia coming into the United States and doing an operation like this?
So with this book, that starts on page one. It's explosive action right there. And not only what the Russians did, I look at what the Russians did in the UK twice, where they, you know, they went after Litvinenko with the polonium in the tea earlier than the Skripal poisoning. But they also, in Iraq, several years ago, a Russian diplomat was taken hostage. And the Russians sent over a special team to Iraq. They figured out the group that took them. They found a relative of the head of the group, and they started slicing off body parts on that relative and mailing them to the guy in the group, saying, you're going to get him back a finger at a time, an ear at a time. And they basically wrapped this Russian diplomat in a baby blanket and brought him back and laid him gently on the steps of the embassy and gave him back to the Russians. They don't screw around, but if they did something like this, Glenn, it would be unquestionably an act of war. So I looked at this and said, how emboldened are they? You know, they went into Georgia under George W. Bush. They took the Crimean Peninsula under Barack Obama. And now with everything happening with Iran and all that kind of stuff, they are trying to drive a wedge between us and our European allies. They'd love to see NATO collapse. And I think that they are more ballsy, to put it bluntly, than they've ever been before. So if you have a super operative in the United States that the president continually sends against Russia, and he's successful getting their bad actors off the chessboard, they might roll the dice and do something like this. And that's why I thought, okay, nobody's done this kind of a thing in a thriller before. I always love giving my readers something new, making each book better than the last one. I said, this is what I'm going to do. But back to the training our guys receive, Glenn, they're told you may only get one opportunity to escape. And if you get that opportunity, you need to be ready for it and you need to take it. So right on page one, as these guys are transporting my guy, taking him to Russia, Scott Harvath, something happens. And Harvath kicks it into gear, and the rest of the book is about the chase is on for him. Mm-hmm. The Russians are trying to get him back. The U.S. is trying to find him. And it's just page after page of just nonstop action till the end of the book.
So let me ask you this. You talk about the Wagner Group, which we've heard a lot about. If you pay attention, it's the Russian private military contractor. They were operating in Ukraine, the Little Green Men, and then also in Syria as well. Talk a little bit about the use of the Wagner Group and their love affair, apparently, with Nazis.
Yeah, so it's interesting because private military corporations are illegal in Russia, yet the Wagner Group exists. And it's interesting because it was started by a former Spetsnaz, Russian Special Forces colonel, whose call sign was Wagner, after the composer, who was one of Hitler's favorite composers. Mm-hmm. And these guys subscribe to a form of it is a hybrid Nazi ideology and kind of pagan religion that that grew up in Russia during the fall of the Soviet Empire. So in the 90s, this thing grew up. And these guys model themselves largely after the SS. And they are absolutely terrifying. These guys are the ones that Putin sends everywhere so Putin can claim plausible deniability and say the Russians aren't there. It isn't the Russians that are here that are there, but these are the Little Green Men. These are the people that were involved in helping to shoot down that airliner in Ukraine. They were in Syria. And I think you guys talked about this, Glenn. I don't know, was it 8 months ago? There was that big bombing where there were like 150, 200 Russian mercenaries that were killed.
Yes.
In Iraq.
And yes.
That was these guys.
I know.
That was the Wagner guys. Yeah, so good, right? So that's 150 less of these bad actors on the world stage. And these are also the guys that allegedly were flying into Venezuela to prop up the government there as it looked like Maduro was going to fall.
So as you've done so much work for this book, the name of the book is Backlash. It's by Brad Thor. It's a thriller. He's a number one best-selling author. It is... You know, it's Tom Clancy. I mean, it's just a thrill ride all the way through. And his latest, again, is Backlash, out in stores today. You can get it on Amazon, et cetera, et cetera. As you look into, for instance, you have the president. I don't want to give anything away, but you have the president applying pressure through finances. And let's leave it at that because I don't want to give anything away. But should we use more of those tactics on Putin?
Oh, absolutely, I think we should. Considering how much money Putin has squirreled away around the world, how much he's stolen from the Russian people, I think it's a great idea. And you'll remember that for the longest time, Bill O'Reilly was saying we ought to end credit card transactions there. We ought to cut off the ability to do the SWIFT transactions with bank accounts, and that we should cripple them by not letting credit card transactions go through over there, which was a brilliant, brilliant idea. There are a lot of tools left on the table that we could still be applying to Russia. And, you know, I think if they try anything, if we even see a Russian tuning into an American debate or coverage of the next election, I think we ought to drop the hammer on them. I don't think we should have any hesitancy to drop it. And I think President Trump, it would be an excellent move if he came out and directly said to Russia, if we even think you're sniffing around in the next election, that's it for you.
We know they're going to. We know they're going to. Are we doing enough? Is our government
You know, last week we were just flicking the lights over there with their power grid system to freak them out.
Right.
To say, and that's not only the election stuff, too. That's concern about other stuff. You know, we're looking, for one thing, you guys have talked about Huawei on the show before and the whole 5G thing and what's coming up. It's interesting because we're not moving fast enough with 5G. The Chinese are. The Russians are, interestingly enough, moving with their own 5G network. It sucks. It really sucks. But everything in Russia sucks. And but what they're doing here is they're using their propaganda outfit, Russia Today, to start sowing seeds of fear in American viewers. And anybody that's listening to you, I believe in the First Amendment. I also believe you should never, ever turn on Russia Today. It is straight up propaganda. And they're running stories telling Americans that 5G networks actually cause cancer and birth defects in children and so on and so forth, because they want to create a groundswell against 5G here so that Russia may be able to overtake us in this space. They're bad actors. So anything we can do, these are not our friends. The Obama people were completely, completely wrong. And they've even come out, several of them, to say, yeah, we were wrong, to say to Mitt Romney, the 80s called and they want their foreign policy back. But a lot of the Obama administration was wrong on a lot of stuff. You look at Iran. Had they backed the Green Revolution, and at the time, years ago, you and I were talking about this, that you and I said it made no sense, because it took 2 weeks for a tepid statement from Barack Obama. But within 24 hours of the dictator in waiting in Honduras being ousted by the Congress and exiled from the country, within 24 hours, Obama was supporting him and saying it wasn't right.
Correct.
And we need to let him back in the country. He always sided with the bad actors. And we said, why is he not siding with the young people in Iran? This is a chance for us to see democracy there. Now, years later, we know it's because he was writing love letters back and forth with the mullahs trying to complete the Iran deal. So there's always something going on behind the scenes, but a lot of what the current administration and President Trump is facing are the absolutely terrible decisions of the Obama administration. So this is why foreign policy, getting it right, is important, because it reverberates well past the end point of a particular president's time in office.
Brad Thor, as always, we'll talk to you on Friday. I think you're coming into the studio, so I'd like to spend some time with you talking a little bit more about, you know, how we've handled Iran, what you think is coming our way, et cetera, et cetera. But today we wanted to get you on because your book is out today, Brad Thor, Backlash. It's a great thriller from a guy who is part of the tribe. Support him and grab this book. Even if you've never read any Brad before, you can pick it up at any place, and then you're going to be hooked. Brad Thor, Backlash, available now.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to go. I want to take you through something. There is new AI generated voices, and this is something that I talked to you about a few years ago and said this is going to happen faster than you can imagine. By 2020, you will not be able to believe your eyes or your ears, and we are very, very close. If you remember the last time we played machine learning or AI generated voices. The voice is much harder to get than pictures, and you could still tell. It sounded computer-generated. You could really tell. Well, let me give you the update. You can find this at the at fakejoerogan.com. It's done by a company now that is actually warning about this technology, but they're also creating it at the same time. I want you to tell me, is this the real Joe Rogan or the fake Joe Rogan when we come back? We took the test and we couldn't tell. We got about half right. And it's not finished yet. What all of this means, we'll tie it all together next. Let me start with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan, if you don't know, he's a comedian, and he's got a podcast that is wildly, wildly popular. And so a deep fake company, a company that is working on voices and replicating voices for good reasons. And they're coming out and warning us all about all of the bad things that can happen with this, has just put together a website called Fake Joe Rogan. And I just want to play a couple of cuts here and tell me if you can, which one's fake, which one's real. Cut one.
Fantastic old world craftsmanship that you just don't see anymore.
Is that fake or real? Stu?
You're asking me? I mean, that one, I maybe fake?
I think that one's fake. I've heard it a couple of times already today, but I don't have it in front of me. Is that fake or real, sir? That is fake. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Another one.
Fantastic old world craftsmanship.
That's a fake one. That's the same one.
You just don't see anymore.
Wait. Play that one again.
Fantastic old world craftsmanship that you just don't see anymore.
That's the same one, right?
That was the real one. The one I played first was not real.
Jeez.
That's the real one. The one that she played before was not real. That's crazy.
Can you play them both again, like back to back, sir?
Yes.
Okay.
Fantastic old world craftsmanship that you just don't see anymore. Fantastic old world craftsmanship that you just don't see anymore.
That's not possible. That's the same thing.
Identical.
Anyway, this is the world we're getting in now. This is the world that we're headed towards. Do it again.
Deer jerky. Some of it has some sugar in it, folks. I could definitely tell.
There is a lot of sugar in deer jerky. I'm glad he pointed that out.
Deer jerky. Some of it has some sugar in it, folks. I could definitely tell.
I can't tell if that's real or fake.
I can't even.
And I'm listening in headphones, by the way.
I know.
You know, you might be in your car right now with noise.
I mean, I'd be guessing. Yeah. I'd be guessing. Which one is it, Sarah?
The first one was real. The second was not real.
Those were two different ones. First one's real. Second one's not real. I don't think so.
The point is, you can't. I mean, there's a whole site. Go take this yourself. What is it? FakeJoeRogan.com?
Yeah, FakeJoeRogan.com.
Go there and listen to all of them and see if you can figure it out. Because to me, I mean, we were listening to these a little bit earlier today, and every once in a while, maybe you can tell a little bit, but
you can usually tell on the speed in which he's talking.
Right.
That's what I picked up.
But I mean, that's a guess, right? Like, they could obviously, the
guess,
speed is easy
no
to
idea.
Alter.
No idea.
And, you know, I don't listen to, you know, every Joe Rogan podcast. I'm not, I know him from his, you know, public clips and stuff. So, you know, maybe if I listen to him all the time, I'd be able to detect it. But I really, just listening, generally speaking, can't even tell the difference.
So if you can't tell the difference, you're not able to trust your ears anymore, because you could produce a tape of somebody saying something that they never, ever said. But you won't know the difference.
Yeah.
You release that, and I got you on tape.
Yeah, and you're just typing this in, right?
Yes,
so you can, any combination of words. It doesn't just have to be words they actually said. And we did this with you, what was it, 2 years ago, Glenn?
Yeah.
With one of these companies, we put in a bunch of your audio and then tried to reproduce your voice. And you could tell it was you, but it was choppy and weird and not right. And it was easy to tell it was fake. Now they're at the point where...
Can't tell.
You can maybe you can tell 10% of the time.
Yeah.
Imagine, you know, where they'll be in a year or two or three. I mean, you will not be able to see or hear the difference in the actual voice. You'll just be trusting some algorithm to tell you whether it's real or fake.
Do we want to do one more? No, I don't want to do one more. It makes me feel insecure and inferior. I can't tell the difference between what's real and what's not anymore. Let me tie some dots together. And I want to tie the dots of Libra, that is the money from Facebook, the deep fakes, the video and the audio, and also what we found out from Project Veritas in the last couple of days, plus ratings. Now, let me tie all of this together and show you the world that we will be in by 2020 to 2022 maximum. But I think we're going to be, we're within 2 years of this, okay? What's happening right now? Mainstream news, local newspapers, all the way to companies like Fox News. Fox News is doing the best, but even their ratings are way down from the past, okay? Why? Because people aren't getting their news from those sources anymore. They're getting it from social media. 1834 most primarily gets their news from social media. So that's Facebook. That's Google. That's Twitter. Now, what have we learned yesterday from Project Veritas? Project Veritas has the Google head of ethics. I mean, what kills me is the woman who was caught on tape is the one that is in charge of ethical implementation of all of their algorithms. Okay. She sees the world a lot differently than I do. She believes, and so does Google, that they need to amplify the voices of truth while suppressing the voices that are not true. And the way they're going to do this, and the way they are doing it right now, is by using trusted sources. That's what they keep using. They use the trusted sources, in their own words, as the stock for the basis of their sources of truth database. Now, that sources of truth database is what runs their analytics system and their systems to combat what they call algorithmic unfairness, and also to complete what they call product interventions. Now, what's a product intervention? Well, I'll tell you. What YouTube did, I'm quoting here from an internal document at Google, what YouTube did is they changed the results of the recommendation engine. And so what the recommendation engine is and what it tries to do is what it tries to say is if you like A, then you're probably going to like B. So content that is similar to Dave Rubin or Tim Pool, instead of listing Dave Rubin or Tim Pool as people that you might like, what they're doing is they're trying to suggest a different news outlet, for example, like CNN or MSNBC or these left-leaning political outlets. Wait, Tim Pool and Dave Rubin? If you like them, you might like MSNBC? No.
I mean, they're actually making their product worse, right?
Correct.
Intentionally
correct.
Worse.
And what they're doing is, remember, you're the product. Whoever is posting is the product. And so they're completing what they call product intervention. So Dave Rubin is the product. You like that, but that's not really one of their trusted sources of truth. So the algorithm changes it and tries to point you to a source of truth, CNN or MSNBC. We now know this is absolutely happening. Google algorithms, silencing voices. They're controlling the voices that you hear. They're banning the voices that you hear. And then they're algorithmically changing those who aren't banned. Okay, so you're going to have a harder time finding them. They also are the biggest ad spaces in the world now. Number one and number two, Facebook and Google, though they control almost all of the advertising now. So when Lila Rose from Live Action, which is a pro-life group, was told she could no longer advertise, that's a problem. Because if your algorithmic fairness system already takes people out who are pro-life, you're putting them behind a ghetto wall. then you're saying, oh, by the way, because you're not good for our community, we also are not going to take any of your advertising. So now you can't even buy your way into stand in front of the public because you're not trustworthy. So as local speech is destroyed, as our newspapers and our television stations locally are destroyed, as our news sources are destroyed, we've looked at the internet as a way to have free speech and to be able to, you know, carve your own way through. But the algorithms now for these giant companies are steering you. So local speech is destroyed. Ads are now controlled. All of the power is centralized. We've gone back to the big studio system, gang. Now they're centralized with these two governments and two companies, Google and Facebook. Now I want you to listen to what Facebook is doing as we drop some more pins into this and connect these dots. We give Facebook our opinions. We give them who we are. We give them the ability to track us so they can predict us. We are the product. They're giving us a little bit of water right next to the gerbil wheel, and we give them everything. And then what do? They take that data, they sell it, they nudge and control us. Well, why would you ban ads? Well, because they're busy taking our data and nudging and controlling us, and that ad, if it's targeted to somebody like me, will take that nudging off track. It doesn't help them control or shape or nudge us. Now, Facebook has come out and introduced a cryptocurrency called Libra. So, Libra, it's quite interesting. You could dismiss this cryptocurrency because this isn't what cryptocurrency is. You don't want a company that is not trustworthy doing cryptocurrency. But Visa and MasterCard has already gone into their cryptocurrency. Now, let's just say that you have cryptocurrency and it becomes the big thing. Facebook, Amazon, Apple, everybody just starts taking Libra. And so all of the transactions are done in Libra and not in cash. You just buy in and give them so much money, and then, you know, you can do transactions on anything. And if you can't buy something on the internet, wow, it's going to get really tough for you, right? You're not going to be able to buy anything. Well, let's just suggest that Libra takes off. Something like Libra, if it's not Facebook. Maybe Google does it. Maybe Amazon does it. But now the algorithm at Google and Facebook and Amazon say, you're not a trusted source. So we've already limited your voice. We've already taken you out of play because you're harmful to the community. Well, we also don't want you to have any Libra because you're harmful to the community. Now, you can just change your ways, as they told Lila Rose. All you have to do is stop talking about abortion, stop saying anything bad about Planned Parenthood, and you can come back. Oh, is that all I have to do? Yeah. But now consider that they are the cryptocurrency that you are having to buy to be able to buy any items online. Now they have real control because Visa and MasterCard are also now part of this. And if the community is harmed by you, and Facebook and Google and Amazon are the real powers, what's to stop them at Visa and MasterCard from saying, you know what, they're harmful to the community? They can't even use our cards. They're already doing this. They're doing this if you want to try to buy a gun or a gun store, not allowed to take credit cards, Visa, MasterCard. They've already started doing this. A constitutionally protected right, and you can't use their credit. So you have to have cash. Well, that's going to separate us entirely, isn't it? Some will be on old style cash and others will be able to buy things on the internet. Only if you are harmful to the community. Ban access. And if that doesn't work, we can destroy you with deep fakes. Your voice is here on tape. He has no credibility. Look at this video of him. He has no credibility. We're entering a world by 2020 that is going to be vastly different, and we are way underprepared for it.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
World's Christian population is under attack, and you're not going to hear much about that on mainstream media. It's under attack in places all over the world for all different sorts of reasons. Mainly, it's anti-Christian bigotry, and that comes from China for their own reasons, but it also is happening in the Middle East and in Africa. With the Islamic State. Now, ISIS is bad, but Boko Haram may be even worse. That is the Islamic State of West Africa. And they have been taking children because they can. They've been taking children forever. In fact, much of our slave trade came from people just exactly like this. Muslims who thought they could take Christians and just sell them off to slavery and make them slaves for life. The mother of Leah, who was kidnapped in 2018 by Boko Haram, is in studio with us now. Her daughter refused to submit and denounce her Christianity, and she is now a slave. And Rebecca Sherabu does not know where she is other than with Boko Haram. She's going to be They're going to translate this, and the translator with us is Dr. Gloria Poldeau. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, thank you, sir.
Rebecca, first of all, we're sorry for the loss of your child. Can you tell me what life is like for a Christian where you come from now?
Boko Haram suna kai hari, suna kashe mutane, suna kona gidaje.
Yeah, I wish you could, as you translate, I just want to say to the audience, if you're not watching the plays, you should be. The pain in her eyes is a little overwhelming.
She says, thank you for having her here. And Christians are actually going through serious persecution in Nigeria because of the activities of the Boko Haram, who are affiliated to the Islamic State West Africa. They raid villages, they burn down churches, they kidnap girls, women, kill the men, kill the young boys and the youths. It is bad.
Can she tell us, was her daughter with her at home? Was she kidnapped from school? Did she have any warning? What was the last contact she had with her daughter? Yeah, if you can translate.
We wani rana ne kika ga yarinyar ki a karshe kuma yaushe ne aka dauke ta yaushe ne kuma kika ganta a gida ne aka dauke ta ko a makaranta ne aka dauke ta
a makaranta ne aka dauke ta suna tare a makaranta da yara kuma an dauke ta on 19 February 2018
Leah was taken from her school on the February 19th, 2018. She was in school. She was not at home. And the last time I saw Leah was in January when I visited her. But February 19th, Boko Haram came into their school and abducted over 110 of the girls from their school.
And without translation, just to you, what is happening to her daughter right now?
We don't know what is happening to Leah. The last we heard of Leah was in August 2018 when a video was released by Boko Haram with Leah seated on a mat with the hijab, which is the Islamic clothing.
Yeah.
And she was pleading to the President Muhammadu Buhari to please reach out to the Boko Haram and meet up their demands so that she can be released. And we know, just like you said, the only reason why she was kept back, the other 104 girls were released because 5 died. She was kept back because she refused to renounce her Christian faith. They had asked her to recite the Kalma Shahada, which is the Islamic creed, but she refused to do that.
I can't. I'm having a hard time looking at Rebecca coming to a country that she doesn't speak a word of the language, and trying to talk to a country that should care and doesn't for some reason care has got to be ripping her apart, I would imagine. How can we help?
Wai ya za su taimake ki yanzu da kika zo nan ko za ki gaya mana ya za su taimake ki?
Na kawo kuka na ne a gare ku, ku taimake ni, ku fitar min da yarin yana.
I have come to the United States of America to plead with your government, to plead with your people, to plead with anyone that cares. United States of America is the beacon of liberty, the hope of the world. I have come here to plead with you to do whatever you can to pressure the government of Nigeria to release my daughter. We actually don't know where to go. We have come to the greatest nation, and we are pleading with your government, crying out our hearts. Leah represents girls that are in captivity in Nigeria because of their faith, or taken so that they do not go to school. Because Boko Haram literally means Western education forbidden. And so girls are not allowed to go to school. That's why they are abducted from their schools. And we have tried the best that we could in our country to ensure that this hell stops. We are not getting results, and that's why we have come here to plead with you to please do whatever you can apart from prayers. Take action. Do not turn a blind eye to what is happening to the Christians in Nigeria, most especially girls and women.
I want you to know, and I want her to know, that she's speaking to millions of Americans right now, that truly are leading the way in America on freeing slaves in Africa and in the Middle East and all over the world. This audience has raised millions of dollars to stop the slavery from the Islamic State. And we are just getting started. And we're very well aware of it. And we will do all we can.
Mutane miliyoyi da yawa ne suke kallonki yanzu, suke jin wannan magana, kuma suna taimako, suna daukan kudi saboda su taimake mutanen da suke cikin wahala, slavery da ake sa yara, kamar inda aka saliya. Yana so ya gaya miki cewa za su yi duk abin da za su yi don su taimaka.
And we will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And we will.
Thank you very much.
Keep your daughter, Leah, in our prayers. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.